The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Pastor, that's not what it says. In teaching junior confirmation, I got accustomed to being asked all sorts of questions and hearing all sorts of comments, the good, the bad, and sometimes the off the wall. But there's only one time where I had a student who actually rose his hand and said, "Pastor, that's not what it says," and actually challenged Luther's explanation of whatever it was he was explaining. This was a young man named Alex. His best friend was Eric. They were both members of the church and in confirmation. Eric is the guy who would ask all the goofy, off-the-wall questions. But Alex was the one who always thought real hard and real deep. And he would ask these questions that were always good and always challenging. And again, two times he challenged Luther and said, "Well, Pastor, that's not what it says." First year confirmation, it was when we were talking about the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Sabbath day, God's word. Well, Alex had attended a Seventh-day Adventist day school, so he rose his hand and he said, "Pastor, that's not what the third commandment says." And of course, he pointed out the obvious that in his explanation, Luther doesn't mention anything about the Sabbath day. Well, that got us to going where I wanted to go anyway, and pointing out that, according to the New Testament, the Sabbath commandment does not literally and outwardly apply, but attending to God's word and preaching does apply. Alex tracked with me, and at the end of the class, he agreed. Then second year, the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer: "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look upon our sins, nor on their account deny our prayer. For we are worthy of none of the things for which we ask, neither have we deserved them, but that he would grant them all to us by grace. For daily we sin much, and indeed we deserve nothing but punishment. And so we will also heartily forgive and readily do good to those who sin against us. I remember the beginning of the class, Alex was thinking real hard, and he rose his hand, and he said, Pastor, that's not what the fifth petition says. So I asked Alex to explain, and he said, "Well, you know, Luther, in the explanation, he kind of says, you know, like, we're all sinners, even though we're Christian, and we need forgiveness every day, even though we're Christian, and everything we get from God is by his grace, and even if we're praying, it's all by his grace, and that part is true. But then Luther just seems to expect that we're going to forgive other people. And, you know, I don't think that's right. I mean, sometimes, yeah, but, you know, not all the time. But anyways, that's not even what the fifth petition says." And so I said, "Alex, what does the fifth petition say?" And Alex said, "Well," he thought for a bit, and he said, "the fifth petition seems to say that if we forgive other people, then God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive other people, then God won't forgive us." Well, the other seven kids in the class, including his good friend Eric, begin to rail against Alex and say, no, that can't be what it means. That doesn't sound like Christian teaching at all. Well, Alex held his ground, and then we looked up Matthew 6, Jesus' own explanation of the fifth petition, and we found that Alex had almost word for word quoted Jesus. "If you forgive others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Alex rose his hands up in triumph. "I'm with Jesus." Then the words began to sink in, and his triumphant smile dissipated into kind of a nervous smile when he said, I think I'd rather be with Luther on this one. But then Alex rose his hand and he said, I think I know. This is just like the third commandment, right, Pastor? It doesn't apply to us. And there were seven hopeful faces looking at me, waiting for me to say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, this doesn't apply. It's law. Don't worry about it. Let's move on to the sixth petition now. And of course, that might be a tempting option to simply say, well, the fifth petition is like the third commandment. Doesn't literally and outward apply to us today. I mean, even the instruction itself is very challenging to us. We know that Jesus is asking us to do something that we know is going to be very hard for us to do, to forgive those who have sinned against us. We know that we couldn't do this without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, but even baptized, that sinful man inside keeps struggling. He loves to hold a grudge. He loves to withhold forgiveness, to desire revenge. It's a hard thing, Jesus asks, when he calls us to forgive. And then, of course, for some of us, these words may strike a warning. If we are like that faithless servant in Matthew 18, who has been forgiven much but refuses to forgive, Jesus' words tell us that our actions are faithless and sinful. We may face the wrath of God. And then for some, these words may strike our conscience because they reveal that we have indeed sinned against our Father in heaven by hating our brother, by not forgiving those who have sinned against us. So do we do away with the words of Jesus for Matthew? Well, not when Jeff Gibbs is sitting here. Jesus' words stand. And so if you are to be instructed, be instructed. If you are to be warned and repent. And if these words strike and move your conscience because they reveal your sin, then confess those sins to God. You might confess those sins to your pastor and receive from him, as from God himself, the forgiveness of sins. And praise God who gave such authority to men, as we also find out in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. But that day in confirmation, the most insightful comment was actually made by Alex's friend Eric, who usually said the goofy things. Eric rose his hand and he said, Pastor, you know, this doesn't sound like the gospel to me. Not the gospel that we learned in the Apostles' Creed all these many weeks. It must be something else. I guess it's teaching to us Christians. Others said, well, no, it sounds like this is the gospel. And I said, no, Eric, you're right. The gospel is not God forgives those who forgive. The gospel is, well, in Matthean terms, that God gives his kingdom to the poor in spirit, to beggars who come before him and have nothing to offer him, no good works, no righteousness. They're the ones God saves. The gospel is God acts first, sending his son Jesus, who gave himself on behalf of his people's sins. Sending Jesus, who saved his people, who gave himself as a ransom. Jesus, who after the resurrection sent his apostles to us Gentiles to make us disciples, baptizing us so that we would be his people, that we would be forgiven, that we would receive the Holy Spirit, and teaching us. Luther in the Small Catechism, I guess, seems to matrix the fifth petition with the gospel. The gospel as we find it in Matthew, the gospel as we find it in the New Testament. I guess more specifically in the Apostles' Creed, the gospel as we find it in the Small Catechism, the gospel as we find it in the Apostles' Creed. God the Creator, God Almighty, sent his Son, our Lord Jesus, to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He sent his Holy Spirit to call us to faith and to keep us in this faith so that we might be in the Christian church where he richly and daily forgives our sins. In the Large Catechism, Luther mentions the warning, if you do not forgive, do not think that God forgives you. But he casts this prayer in all prayers in light of the fact that we pray to the God who acted before we acted, who forgave before we forgave. And Luther talks about this God when he says, he gave us the gospel in which there is nothing but forgiveness before we prayed or even thought of it. The fifth petition stands with its instruction, its warning. Nevertheless, there's great comfort that when we pray to the God who gave us the gospel, in which there is nothing but forgiveness, who gave this to us before we prayed or even thought of it. What great comfort that as we pray, even the fifth petition, we pray to this God. And all praise be to our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen.